and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 192. I haven't signed up for QuiltCon, have you, episode? No, I don't know if that's what I'll call it. I'll figure out something. I'm not sure we have a theme quite yet for this episode. I do have a couple of quilt diaries. This is one of those episodes that it's not the most quilt intensive. I'm doing this for those of you who have a lot of busy work and just want to have a human voice talking to you, who's nice, and who might possibly talk a little bit about quilting. I do talk a little bit about quilting. One thing I didn't talk about in the Quilt Diaries, but we need to talk about, is QuiltCon registration. Did you get registered? I did not, because registration happened to open when I was getting on a plane to go to Florida for the American Library Association summer conference. So, no. And then maybe later that day or Sunday at some point, the email came, I think, from the Modern Quilt Guild, said, sorry that didn't quite work out. But some people apparently got registered enough. I know that the Krista Watson on Twilters has said that her class has filled up. So registration reopens tomorrow at 10. I'll see what's available. I was very, it's a little overwhelming. And I still feel up in the air. Not about going. I really want to go. But now, I reserved a room in Savannah, fairly close to, I think, in the historic district. But I think I reserved it for Thursday and Friday. Not quite sure how long I can really take away from home, and not quite sure what I was going to do. And also, I think at the time, it wasn't clear to me that really QuiltCon really gets going on Thursday. It's not one of those things where you show up on Thursday and there's, a reception and drinks at 5. There are classes all day long Thursday. So I guess tonight at some point, or maybe later this afternoon, because I have a book club tonight, I need to look again at the classes and decide. I don't even know what's left, right? I don't even know what days I'm going to be there. And I suspect a lot of things I wanted to do have filled up. But, I actually really love lectures. And even when I was looking at the course registration list, and there are a ton of great classes, it's very exciting. But there's part of me that's like, I don't know how. Long stretches in the classroom didn't work for me in high school or elementary school or college. And so there's part of me is like, you need to grow your skills and take classes and what have you. And there's part of me just feels a little tired. And maybe right now I feel that way, especially since I just got back from a conference. Particularly the six-hour classes, I'm wimpy. And of course, Krista's was one, although I feel like her EQ7 class was on Thursday. So, but now that's filled up, and we shall see. One of the things I noticed is there are about 20 great classes all at the same time on Friday night. I'll figure it out. One thing I'm pondering, though, my friend Amy Milne, who's over at the Quilt Alliance, and the Quilt Alliance folks will be there, and I know I will spend some of my time volunteering for the Quilt Alliance at the show, and that's something I'll do very happily. But she said that she and Emma, who's her program director, I don't know what Emma's official title is, but the staff for Quilt Alliance is Emma and Amy, and that when they go to Houston in the fall, they've decided to stay in an Airbnb, and they think they're going to do that for Savannah. I was like, Airbnb? And I started looking, and man, there's some really good deals on Airbnbs in Savannah. So, and I have not made a financial commitment to my hotel reservation, so that's something I'm going to look into a little more closely. But I'll have a better idea after registration tomorrow, but I'm curious if you've registered, what you're excited about, and what we're all gonna do together in Savannah. That's gonna be so fun. Don't forget, by the way, I'm going to be in Atlanta in late September. So if you're in the Atlanta area, let me know and I'll make sure you have all the details on that. And of course, I will talk about that more as we get to it. That is for the Birds in the Air launch. The pub date will coincide with that, with my appearance at the, I want to say the Chattahoochee Star Quilt Guild. Is that right? I so hope it is because I love saying Chattahoochee. It's Quilt and Jenny's Guild. So I'm going to be there, and I think it's the 24th, but and knowing Jenny, if I'm wrong, she's yelling right now because she likes to yell at me through the computer. We have this kind of interesting dialogue going on. I depend on Jenny to help me out in any event. Yeah, I'll talk more about that later. I do mention in the Quilt Diaries that I asked some pretty interesting people to blurb, and everyone's been very kind about saying yes. And one of those people is, you know, my very close friend Annie. That's Annie Smith to you. And she sent in her blurb, and it was so beautiful. I love Annie. So anyway, so we're getting excited. We are gearing up for the whole Birds in the Air launch. It's pub date, it's birthday, it's coming. For those of you who are new listeners, and I know we've got some new listeners coming over from Modern Society Podcast, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, I am publishing a quilting novel in the fall called Birds in the Air, and you will be hearing lots more about it as we get closer to the pub date. Okay, let me see. Oh, I wanted to say, yes, yay, I finally sat down, did the number generator, and our winner of the 6th podcast anniversary Fat Quarter Shop giveaway is Wendy in Charlotte. And this is a coincidence, but the universe works in interesting ways. And Wendy actually got in touch with me to show me her color cards from Kona in an effort to help me figure out what this color is I'm looking for the Modern Birds in the Air. What color is this fabric? Where did it come from? This kind of pale salmon that I have and that I've used and have no more of. And she did. She sent me pictures of her Kona color card. And then, by coincidence, promise it's not rigged, she won the gift certificate. So the universe rewards acts of kindness. I like to think so. It's nice to think so. All right, then. Today is Wednesday, January 29th. A lovely, beautiful summer day here in North Carolina. I hope it's beautiful where you are. This is a very rambly, non-quilty episode. I think I've made that clear. Just thought I'd make that clear one more time. So, you are warned. Let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Wednesday, June 22nd. I really think I should be posting an episode today, but that's not going to happen. And in fact, I just now, last night, got back on the quilting pony that I've been off of for quite some time for various reasons, which I think I talked about in the last episode. Just end of the school year, kind of trying to figure out what to do next and out of my routine, and that those things do not for me equal quilting. It means it means wandering around a lot and folding laundry, going, huh, what am I doing? I don't really know what I'm doing still. We spent last week at Ocracoke. We took our annual beach trip, family vacation to Ocracoke. It was lovely. Some years the trip to Ocracoke is absolutely enchanting. Some years it's just good. And, you know, this year it was good. And good is good. Yeah, I mean, good in just the best possible way. We all had a nice time. Everyone got along. Lots of laziness. We are the laziest family on the face of the earth. And we don't do very much. The man actually made a gesture toward doing something. He hired, I don't know if there's a better verb for that, but a fishing boat. With a captain attached, right? What do you call that? Somebody, Quilt and Jenny, tell me. What is that called? He procured a fishing boat for Friday afternoon. And then Thursday, the captain, Captain Jack, that's not even his name. That's what I just keep referring to him. I guess that's confusing because my son's name is Jack. So we'll call him Captain Joe. I never understood that. I remember that being in comic books when I was a kid. C-A-P
apostrophe in. I'm like, I don't get that. Why not just say Captain? But anyway, Cap'n Joe called, and he had just gotten back from an afternoon of taking a group out fishing, and no one caught anything. The weather has been funky out there, as it has been in here, and apparently the fish are waiting for some things to change before they come closer in to the island. And this is not a deep sea fishing jaunt. It's just a regular old boat fishing jaunt. And he said, so he was actually like, he told the man, he's like, yeah, this is kind of embarrassing. It's embarrassing to take somebody out for an afternoon, and this is not inexpensive. And then to catch, and not to catch anything. And his other concern was the winds were going to be, things were going to be choppy, so it could be like a really bad, uncomfortable, and unproductive afternoon fishing. And so they decided not to go. We may go back in October if we can figure out how to sort of wrangle a four-day weekend. There are not a lot of four-day weekends other than Easter weekend in our school calendar, but there are some 3 days that we could maybe add on an extra day to. If Friday, you know, take Friday off if they don't have school Monday, and go out there, which I would like to go as well, because I've long wanted to experience Ocracoke in different weathers. We've actually, the man and I went in March once. I don't know why. It was really cold, but we did, and this was before children, and yeah, and my dream is to do Thanksgiving out there. I would love that. So October will be getting close, so maybe we'll do that. Anyway, so there was a move made toward activity, but that didn't happen. No follow through. Yeah, we went to the beach almost every day, and the man and Will did a lot of beach fishing, and so actually we went quite a bit at night, which I really like. And so Jack and I would walk, not together, of course, and in fact, in completely different directions, and I or read, and the man and Will fish. And so, you know, so there was some activity. I walked a ton and rode the bike around, and Jack always likes to take a bike ride around the island. So we weren't complete slugs, but we're fairly sluggish. So it was a good week. I read a lot. At some point, I'm going to give you a big book report, because I really have read a ton the last 2 weeks. Again, I'm not making quilts, and so why not read? And I've read some stuff I'd recommend. I've read some stuff I wouldn't recommend. I have in front of me, it just rains and pours with library holds, doesn't it? It's like you don't have a thing to read, and suddenly 8 books come in, and they're all like the most popular books, so you know you've only got 3 weeks. Right, you're not going to be able to renew them. So so I have in front of me, for instance, My Name is Lucy Barton by Elizabeth Strout. I have The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah. I've never read anything by Kristen Hannah, but several people have recommended this very highly. I have a book that I will be able to renew called The Wake by Paul Kingsnorth, and it's kind of written in sort of a pidgin Middle English. I feel like I may be able to have this one as long as I want it. I don't know if you've ever read... I think it's Ridley Walker, not Walker Ridley. Pretty sure it's Ridley Walker by Russell Hoban, who actually wrote the wonderful Francis children's books. And Ridley Walker is a novel, and it is written completely in this pidgin English. It takes a while to figure out how to read it. Once you get into the groove, you figure it out. And I haven't read it in a long time. I actually would like to read it again. Maybe once I finish The Wake, I'll be into that whole, like, not quite English, not quite German, just something. So, yeah. But so I'll talk about books at some point or another. Anyway, so we're back this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to Orlando for the American Library Association summer meeting. I'm doing a panel. I'm doing a book signing and some Simon & Schuster dessert party. And I don't know if it's just for authors or if all kinds of people are coming in. I don't know. I looked at the list of authors. There's like a lot of famous people. So that'll be lots of fun for this introvert. I'm sure I'll just go stand in a corner somewhere. Yes. So anyway, I feel like next Monday, the summer really begins, and I think I'm going to have 5 weeks of no travel, no nothing. And we'll be writing in the mornings and then working on quilts and working on my birds in the air quilt stuff. And yeah, so I want to thank, several people have been really lovely. You know, I'm still trying to figure out, speaking of birds in the air, I've got my modern birds in the air quilt and I'm still in search of the right fabric, either a match for this or salmon fabric that I have, or a fabric that works as well. So now I have about 5 different sort of salmon-y kind of fabrics, but none of them, they're either too light or too dark or not, you know. And I really wish I could just find the match to this fabric because it's just perfect. It's just what I want. But anyway, Lizzie is sending me some fabric she bought. I think that she says a thrift store. I think I have that right, but a bunch of salmon fabric. So she's sending me a couple yards. And then Wendy sent me pictures of the Kona color charts of, you know, the fabric samples. What are those called? I don't know. So that is, which was very helpful. You know, one, I recently, I guess a few weeks ago, got a yard of blush. You know, I had looked online and it looked like blush might be in the ballpark. And I can't remember. I think now it was perhaps too light, a little too pink. And so it was great to be able to see that. And the blush was on that color chart. So it was, or fabric chart or sampler or whatever. So it was good to see where it was in context of the deepening and lightening and intensity and all of that of the pinkish oranges, pinks. So anyway, I really appreciate people trying to help me out here because Lord knows I could use all the help I can get. It's very weird today, right this very second. I'm in the house alone, well, with the exception of Travis, who's sitting next to me, who really needs to go to the groomer. But, you know, he was at camp last week. That's what we call it when we put him in the kennel, and they love him there. He's a very, very sweet dog and very friendly. So we always pay for a little extra playtime, and we're pretty sure we don't have to. Because whenever we go pick him up after being away, it's, oh, we love Travis. Oh, he was so much fun. So anyway, but still, I just feel like he should be home for a week before he has to go through the torture of going to the groomer. It is torture for him. It's like taking a reluctant preschooler to the first day of preschool. He knows now when we get there what it is, and he does not want to do it. But you got to do it because he's a cockapoo. He's got hair, not fur, and it grows. And he's shaggy and stinky. Well, yesterday, again, it's so hard for me to be without a routine. Oh, yeah, and the weird thing. Okay, I'm here by myself with Travis. The man is working at our office here in town. He has been doing a lot of work at night, and so he has been working at home during the day, which is fine, and that's lovely. I love him, and just could not be happier to have him around. Except it's kind of nice to have him gone. And I think next week he's going to go back to more of his 9-to-5 at the office schedule. But Will has gone to the pool with his friend Gavin. If you've been listening to this podcast for the past 6 years, you've heard much about Gavin. And Gavin has 2 younger brothers, and his mom, Sarah, takes them to the pool all the time. We actually, this year, don't have a pool membership. But at the pool that we used to go to, the same pool that Gavin and his family go to. And you can have guests all the time. It just costs $5 a pop. And so, and I keep trying to, so Gavin's mom is, I guess this is the second time that they have invited Will to the pool, and I think we'll invite him all the time. He's very nice to Gavin's little brothers, apparently, and he and Gavin are good friends. But she won't let me pay. She says it's worth it. It's worth the $5 to have Will there. So I guess I'll be making her another quilt, I think. Yeah. But so Will's at the pool. Jack just left to go get his hair cut. He and the man are going to Davidson College tomorrow, which is one of the colleges that Jack is very interested in. So they're actually going to go, and they are going to spend the day there. And he's already gone once. So this is like kind of come, if you're really, really interested, come and spend the day with us and talk and ask questions. So they're going to do that. So anyway, Jack's getting his haircut, I guess, to look good for that. So I'm here by myself, which is why I'm talking to you. Now, last night, yes, I'm without my routine, as I was saying. I'm trying to keep circling back, not ramble too much. I actually sat down and started handpiecing, working on the Civil War era birds in the air quilt. And that's probably the only picture I'll have for this episode. You know, I would say I'm probably about halfway done with the number of blocks. You know, I still have not sat down and figured out, calculated how many more like half square triangles I need, and or even how many blocks I need. And, you know, it kind of wouldn't be that hard. By the way, it's been very fun to see the twilter on the twilters, a bunch of twilters doing a birds in the air swap. And it's been very, very cool to see people's blocks. They look great. And, you know, by the way, if you want to be a twilter, let me know, and we'll get you in there. We finally got Deborah in. Deborah, who was like a Facebook naysayer, wasn't doing the Facebook, and they finally broke her. I think just that she could not resist being a twilter, and who can blame her? So we're so happy to have her, and we'd be happy to have you if you are on Facebook and want to join. It's a great group. I know I say this all the time, but it's my favorite part of Facebook, and people are funny and nice and supportive. So come on over, be a twilter. But it's been exciting to see people's birds in the air quilts coming together, blocks coming together, quilts coming together. So last night, I finally, you know, just, it's weird because I'm kind of in between books and I've got work I could do, but I don't have a deadline, and that's really hard for me. That's the hard part about being self-employed. You know, I mean, sometimes I do have deadlines. Sometimes I really do have to get stuff done, but right now I'm not there. And so, yeah, so yesterday was very floaty, and finally, I just thought, I'm just sit down and work. Sit down and sew this quilt. Hand piece these pieces, and I did, and then I was very happy. I was watching Poldark, which is a PBS or BBC series that my friend Kristen has always been trying to get me to watch, and has insisted if I get past the first couple episodes I'll love it, and she's right, I do. So I was watching that. I think once I'm done with Poldark, I'm gonna watch Home Fires again. I liked it so much. But yes, so it felt good to finally sit down and get to work. And so this afternoon, after, what did I do today? It's really hot. Not that I complain about the weather, but it's super hot. Tomorrow it's going to be 100. Then it's going to go back down to what's more normal, which is upper 80s. I got my mammogram today. Do that. If you're over 40, you can talk to your doctor about how often. My doctor wants me to do it every year because I'm over 50. I'm not particularly at risk, other than the risk that aging brings. You're at an increased risk the older you get. But anyway, so I went and did that. I go to the best place. It's like through Duke, but it's one of their off-campus sites. So it's the Duke Radiology that's over by the Kroger. And they're like the nicest people in the world. And I've only ever seen like one other person there. I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, so it's actually very pleasant, other than the getting squished part. But yeah, so anyway, but this afternoon I have been cutting and getting ready to do some more piecing a little bit later. And I'm happy. I feel like, oh yes, okay, this is something. I feel focused again, which is good. And that makes me feel quilty and happy. So yay. Birds in the Air novel news. I'm very excited. I've been asking some people for blurbs, including my best friend, Annie Smith. Yay! I sent her a book a couple weeks ago. I need to follow up on that, make sure she got it. Guess who else said she would read the book? And I asked people to read, and if they like it, to blurb it. I just went ahead. I just got my courage up, and I asked Victoria Finley Wolf, and she said sure, because she is the nicest person in the world. She sounds like a little bit more of an audiobook person, which, you know, she works so much and teaches so much, that makes sense to me. Fingers crossed. She said she's a slow reader, so fingers crossed that she reads it, likes it, and gets a blurb in time for the first printing. And then I also asked Marianne Fons, and guess what? Marianne Fons said, sure. Yeah, we all know that Marianne Fonz is really nice. I actually messaged Mary Fonz, but I think I messaged to the wrong Facebook account. So now I'm going to message her again on her other one and say, by the way, your mom said she's going to read this, so why don't you? anyway, so that's really neat. I have not asked Marie Bostwick. I might. I was a little hesitant just because I know that she's been finishing up a draft, but then I saw something on Twitter the other day that she actually has finished a draft, so I might ask her. I certainly will send her a copy of the book. Yeah, so that's all kind of really good news, huh? I'm just tickled. People, quilters are so nice, but we knew that. We know that they're nice, and yeah, so woo! Quilt Diary Day 2. You may be wondering what happened to Quilt Diary Day 1, which ended a little abruptly. I was just listening to it because it's been a week or so since I've recorded. And I was thinking, I knew vaguely what I had talked about, but I thought maybe I would listen so I wouldn't just spend today repeating myself. And at the end, I kind of went on a bit. I'm having house cleaning lady problems. And first of all, that just sounds really snotty. Let me tell you why I'm going to fire my house cleaner, which is, you know, so first world. And also, it's like, you know, it's just listening to me talk. I'm like, you just sound like an idiot. And I'm a little self-conscious right now because I've gotten a number of new listeners, as I'm sure other podcasters have, because our lovely Krista Watson was on, I believe it was on Modern Society, which she talked about listening to podcasts and mentioned me and Pam. And so I've gotten some comments recently from people saying, hey, I heard Krista talk about you. So thank you, Krista. And in fact, my goal is to get this recorded and finished today and posted because Krista has a deadline and she needs podcasts to listen to. So I'm doing this for her. And anyway, but if you're new, first of all, the first quilt diary is all kind of rambly and doesn't really touch much on quilting. And then it ends up with me complaining about the help. Just thought, wow, maybe we won't go there. Just suffice to say, I have a cleaning lady. She comes twice a month and with her family and the children and the baby. And it's never quite sure. I'm never quite sure when she's going to show up. And we had a little problem a week ago with them showing up about 45 minutes later than I expected them, which is just kind of a drag. I mean, and what I realize is every time they come, it's sort of the whole morning is lost to me because I get ready for them to come. I used to clean houses, so it's like I know what you want. When you're cleaning houses, you just want to come in. You don't want to have to pick up. You just want to clean. So I try to prep the house, and now the boys are out of school, so like get them out of the way and create this space for the cleaning team to come in and clean. And I'm just like, you know, it's kind of stressing me out, dude. It really is. And now there's like four women. It's mom and her three daughters. And now there are four children, including a baby. And I can't tell you. I just always, the cleaning day, I just end up with the headache. I just need someone very quiet to come in and clean. And I have to say, it's like now, I was doing some of my own cleaning, which I haven't had to do in a while, because left to my own devices without help, I clean once every 6-7 months. I thought, wow, it's really nice to have someone come in. And on the other hand, I really hate having someone come in. I don't know how to deal with that. So, but I think we're going to at least take a break for the summer. But I spent a lot of time talking about that and sounded dumb. So enough. What I want to talk about right now, I am still, let's see, I'm still quilting. Guess what? I have been out of town, although I was only out of town for 36 hours, but it was going out. So I went, as I mentioned, to the American Library Association. And these things for me are just, the events themselves are always lovely and exhausting, and I'm always in a state of high stress and anxiety before I go. You know, it's like, will I say something stupid while on a panel? It just kind of depends. Sometimes I'm a very good public speaker and a very good improvisational speaker, and sometimes I'm not. And it really depends on the energy in the room, and if there's someone nice in the audience who's smiling at me and nodding, that helps so much. And it also depends if I'm tired and just a bunch of stuff. So it's a little nerve-wracking. And, you know, as far as children's book authors go, I'm kind of like, you know, the B-plus list. And I was around a lot of A-plus rock and roll stars, including this panel that I was on
It was moderated by Lori Halsey Anderson. If you know anything about YA Lit, you know she's a star. She wrote Speak, which was one of the great books of young adult literature ever. It's one of my favorites. And she turned out to be fabulous. Everyone is always fabulous. That's the thing you forget. You just think, for some reason, I go into events thinking everyone's going to be really mean to me, and everyone's just so nice. It's a great world. It's kind of like the quilting world. Primarily, people are supportive. You know, there's always bad apples. There's always people who are competitive. But by and large, this is a women's world. It's a cooperative world. And the fact is, the stakes aren't as high in some ways because children's publishing works differently. And so people can be kind to each other, and people are kind to each other. But yeah, so I was on a panel with Lori Halsey Anderson and William Joyce, who you might know from Rolly Polly Olly and George Shrinks and a million books, and he's a genius and also a really nice guy. And I met him once before, but this event, we were on this panel together, and then we ended up at the dessert party I mentioned, having a really long, interesting talk about the South. He's from Shreveport, Louisiana, and it was just because I was talking about my new book on the panel. I talked about Trouble the Water, which is set in 1953 Northern Kentucky, and it's about a very awkward friendship between a black girl and a white boy. And I wanted to write it very realistically, because oftentimes in children's literature, it's either when there's these situations where black kids and white kids come into contact, it's either the white kids are either evil incarnate or they're saints, you know, and I don't know anyone who fits either description. And so I wanted to see how, if I could depict a friendship realistically with, you know, because, you know, I mean, to me, one of the most fascinating topics going, certainly what I've been interested for so long, is the South in black and white. It's complicated, it's complex, it's violent, there's love, there's attraction, there's sex, there's brutality. I mean, it's all, there's food, there's music, it's all, you know, it's a gumbo, right? And Bill Joyce is from Shreveport, and so I talked about this when I talked on the panel, and by the way, I improvised it because we were told to make to prepare sort of an elevator pitch about our books, which is something I really, really can't do. I'm not clever. You know, I can be smart, I can be funny, but I can't be clever. But fortunately, Bill Joyce was the first one asked to talk about his book, and he did it in a really real way. And so I didn't have anything prepared real, but I just said to the audience, I said, oh, I'm really glad we're being real instead of clever, because I'm bad at clever. Now I'm going to try to be real, but I may ramble, which you listeners of Off Kilter Quilt will absolutely appreciate my ability to ramble. And so, in fact, I turned to the guy next to me, who I believe whose name was James Posner, totally cool writer, is doing a series about a kid who is in the FBI. Oh, he's just a totally charming guy. Really nice. And I just said, Jim, start elbowing me when I start rambling. But I actually did. This was one of those times because there were very many supportive and friendly faces in the audience that I seemed to be connecting with, that I could improv and actually do a fairly good job. To my left was Miss Jennifer Weiner, who you might know from books like In Her Shoes, books for adults. And she also writes quite a bit of op-ed for the New York Times. Which is actually the work I'm more familiar with, and I really like her. And she has written a middle grade novel, and she was fabulous. She did a great job. Did a great job talking about her book and being part of the panel. And I hung out with her a little bit because it was funny because it's like she's new to this world. And I thought, I don't know what it's like with the grown-ups, writing for grown-ups. If people, you know, mingle or whatever, but she's new to it, so I know she's famous, but I'm still going to be nice to her. And we had a nice talk, and in fact, she, I don't know how this happened, but now is doing a Facebook giveaway. She's giving away Trouble the Water, my book, and Bill Joyce's book, new book, which I think is called Ollie's Journey. And, and she's got 100,000 followers on Facebook. So I thought that was really super cool and kind of her. So that was a really good experience all the way around. And then people came to my signing. So all the things that I worry about Didn't happen. It was all good stuff. I got to hang out with my editor, Caitlin, and this is real. I don't go up to New York, so these are kind of events or the only times we get to hang out. Anyway, that all, by the way, the panel, the dessert party, which was with authors and librarians. I talked with a lot of people about cemeteries. Did I talk? Have I told you about that? That I spent a lot of time in Ocracoke looking at cemeteries. There are 81 graveyards in Ocracoke, most of them very tiny, like only they're family graveyards for the most part, and there might be four or five stones. Some are just two. And it's fascinating. I got really interested in that, partly because a lot of them are hidden. Because the island has grown over. I mean, obviously in some parts of the island are super developed. But other parts, it's just you kind of stumble across these old family graveyards in the woods. And apparently they're mapped out. I think that there's, cemeteries are in general, I think there's surveys. In fact, I have found a survey online for Durham. And there are also some interesting sort of hidden family cemeteries around here, too. And I ended up talking to some people about this. And I'm like, I know it sounds morbid, but, a lot of people are very interested in graveyards and cemeteries. I guess it's history in a weird way. It's kind of archaeology and art, and in particularly here, just that these were a friend of mine who's a folklorist. It turns out that she does this. She does a lot of research on graveyards in the South, and so she's so familiar with it that she can identify different tombstone carvers, right? So I ended up having some really interesting conversations with people, with librarians who are almost always interesting, about graveyards and about ghost stories and all that stuff. So it was a good visit. And so the party was good, the panel was good, and then I showed up for my signing the next day, and there was a line. It wasn't a long line. There were, believe me, many longer lines. But I've been doing this a long time, long enough to have people who like my books and want to come and say hi. So that was really nice. So it was a great event. It could not have been more exhausting. I thought, it's like by the time it was over, I just kind of sat. I did sit in a corner. I never sat in a corner during the event, like I was afraid I might. But I actually, I had some time. I had a couple hours between when I needed to go to the airport and at the end of my event, and then I actually got to hang out with the librarian I know through Facebook, but we've never met in person, but she's very supportive of my work and blah blah blah. So we got to hang out after I did my signing, so that was lovely. And then I actually had a couple hours where I didn't have anything to do, so I just sat in the hotel, not in my room. I just sat in the lobby. I checked out of my room and just really didn't move. I was so exhausted. But now I'm back, and since I've been back, so today's Wednesday, by the way, it's June 29th, I'm pretty sure, and I have been hand piecing and making some really good progress on birds in the air, and then trying to figure out the modern birds in the air. So I got the fabric from Lizzie. Lizzie, I need to email you and say thank you. And it wasn't right. It wasn't, it was close. Everything is close, but the fabric that Lizzie said, which was great, it's fabulous. I have another birds in the air project I want to use it for. So it will not be, Lizzie, your generosity will not be in vain. But I think I'm just going to, I have one piece of the salmon fabric, one piece that I would say is probably 4 inches across and maybe 16 inches long. And I think I'm going to cut it to make a very narrow strip to run along the side of the quilt. And then do an outer border of periwinkle down the side and on the bottom. Fingers crossed that works, because at some point I need to move on. I actually have to reconstruct this quilt. I'm going to add a couple birds. So I think there's part of me, the last week was kind of a wash, because I do start getting kind of nervous about this stuff days in advance. I mean, talking about going to ALA. But also, it's one of those, you know how a job is, whether it's a quilting job, quote-unquote job, or any task where there are many steps involved, that sometimes it's hard to get started, whereas if there's a very, I'm not making much sense. It's just some things are easy to focus on and get done because it's very, you know, that's step one, two, three. You know exactly what you're doing and you can do it and get it done. Whereas with modern birds in the air, they're about 8 steps left and I'm not quite sure I know what I'm doing. In fact, I know I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just gonna have to make a lot of lucky guesses. But I'm eager to do that and finish it. And you know, if it doesn't quite work out, I'll keep looking for this mystery fabric. So that's where I am quilty wise. And also trying to get Will, he's supposed to be doing some stuff on Adobe Illustrator for me for some other ideas I have, and I need to push him. My children are out of school. Will, Jack is working for us. You know, we have established our small publishing company called Milton Falls Media, and so Jack is doing a lot of web work for us right now, and he's also supposed to be interning with NC Folk. I don't know if he's got... I know he hasn't started on that, but Will is just being Will, and that it means running around outside, coming inside, being obsessed with soccer, being smart about moving. So he's being a moving target for me. So that, because that's one thing I have told him. It's like, I don't want to have to police you this summer, but I will, you know, in terms of screen time. So he's being very smart about that. Okay, I think I'm at rambling point. I'm trying to think. I want to say thank you for all the comments I've got on the last two episodes. And by now, I've announced the winner of the Fat Quarter Shop gift certificate. Yay. But I appreciate you listening. You are all winners in my book. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this. And thanks for all your comments. And forgive this more rambly, non-quilty episode. I hope that the next one, which I plan to get back to my 10-day schedule, so should be, what would that be, Monday... July 10th, around there. I'm going to get back to that schedule, and hopefully I'm just going to have a ton of quilty things to talk about. That is my goal. So in the meantime, I hope you are having a great start to your summer, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.